Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. I'm Jerry. You can tell by my voice, still sick. Here's David and Max. In a little bit, you'll be able to tell that David is still sick as well. And Max, as usual, is the vision of health. He's so healthy and youthful. Really awful sporting weekend for me. All my American teams that I support lost. So that's a thing. And add that to the fact that we're out of the FA Cup now. Just a sucky week. Just a sucky weekend, you know? You guys, did both of you get to go?
Yeah.
Geez. All right. All right, we're going to get into that in a sec. All right. Really quickly, for all you podcasters out there, this is what the show is going to look like today. We got three meaty subjects, so we will only be doing three segments. Start off, we're doing this FA Cup Derby reaction. All right? Weird one, folks. Really strange circumstances. Next, let's talk transfer rumors. There's a lot. I got a list. It's like a mile long. It's ridiculous. And that's not even counting the random Twitter whispers that I'm hearing. And lastly, Morales and Barkley are gone. We got to talk about that. Who wants to start the Derby reaction? As far as, let's stick to the football first, and then let's get into all that other stuff.
Big Max can start us off.
All right, you can just die quietly. I was a lot more frustrated than I felt a lot of other Evertonians were after that game. I just think getting knocked out the cup and getting beat by Liverpool kind of just hit me all at once. And the performance wasn't too bad, but I was just blinded just by rage coming out the ground. To have two derbies in such close proximity and not even, win one, it's a disappointment. And the FA Cup, I saw it as the beacon of hope to try and save our season. And yet again, we fell at the first hurdle. Granted, the performance was better, but we just need to improve dramatically in terms of having, because it feels like a while since we've had a substantial season, really, where you can look back on it and go, right, okay, something actually happened this season that is memorable and that, you can draw positives from. But we've literally fell at the first hurdle in Europe, in the League Cup, and now in the FA Cup. So, I know Tosin came in one of the most bizarre announcements I think I've known Everton to do. Went down into the concourse at half time and it was up on Sky Sports News. It was very deflating for me.
I actually took this defeat quite well, surprisingly. I think numerous factors played part. Firstly, I thought the team had a good go for the change and I was almost proud of the performance. Secondly, I've walked down this road so many times against Liverpool that it just didn't come as a surprise to me, the circumstances in which it came. And even when we were 1-1, I wouldn't have been shocked at any point if we got the winner. So for Van Dijk to get it from a corner, from a mistake from Pickford, who's maybe been our best signing, is just the height of irony. So nothing really blew me away about the defeat in the end. And yeah, it took quite well because naturally I was disappointed, of course I was, but it just felt like, it just felt inevitable. It just had an air of inevitability when you play against Liverpool, and Friday night just had that. So I was disappointed to go with the cup to Liverpool, but I feel like some things off the pitch kind of softened the blow. Them losing Coutinho the very next day, I think, took the wind out of their sails. Mm. And then we had, obviously, us losing Barkley, which took a lot of our attention as well. So I think another thing that I like the look of is, once again, we got a result last month. We were very close to getting a result on Friday. I don't believe this same set of players has the same fear factor that others have. And now, knowing that we've got another Goodison derby ahead, you know, there's a little bit of optimism that we might get some revenge. Normally, we're normally the first game, and then we have to go to Anfield, where our record's so poor. But knowing we have a Goodison derby on the horizon before the season's out, I don't know, I just took it a lot better than I have done in the past, put it that way. Can't quite put my finger on why. I think it's just numerous things.
I'm conflicted. Pretty angry, pissed off at the end, but at the same time, yeah, because you don't like getting bumped out of your... I mean, let's be honest, it's pretty much the final competition of the season, for the league. And you know, we're not going to win the league. So basically what we're focusing on the league now is going to be the possibility for any kind of European play. And the only way we're going to do that is if we can somehow climb to seventh. Right? So I'm a little disappointed by that. Okay, really disappointed by that. But at the same time, that was maybe the best I've seen us perform at Anfield in a really long time. But so the performance was good. We could have won that. We literally could have won that one. I didn't think the performance was that bad. However, I'm also stuck between there's that winner's mindset that thinks if you lose, it doesn't matter. You know, that keeps creeping into my brain. So I'm conflicted. You know, I stand by the fact that we played well. We were aggressive. We attacked them. Our goal was awesome. Their goal was a soft penalty and a mistake. So essentially, two mistakes, right? They had chances, though. I'm not going to deceive myself into thinking they didn't have opportunities to score. They did. I mean, they're a good team. And they didn't field all of their strongest players, but they still are good without them. I was proud, but I'm not shouting it off the rooftops. We lost. You know? I hope this is a sign of things to come, though. I'm curious, though, as to what we're going to do. Sigurdsson looked good in that central role, didn't he?
Yeah, really good. I can't help but draw similarities to Arteta, because I just think that's the first player that we've had in a long time that had just got that playmaking ability and can just grab a goal out of nowhere from, you know, a shot from outside the box, which, you know, with the exception of, let's say, Barkley, who's now gone, we haven't really got a player in the squad, you know, that pulled the trigger from long range. So that is a positive to see him performing well in that central role, hopefully with Tosin coming in as well, that might produce some more goals.
I think it could get misunderstood, my viewpoint, really, of how the game went. I don't want people thinking I was content going out to the cup, because I was basically...
I didn't take it that way, David. I didn't at all. If it sounded like I was interpreting it that way, no.
Oh, no. It's just... there's two ways you could look at this. The first option is the option I've done so many times in derbies against Liverpool, and it gets you nowhere. First option could be saying... how typical is it that they got another penalty that was just a shocking decision? They've scored that, and then one of our best players has made a mistake, you know, with just a few minutes left on the clock, and they went and won 2-1. You know, they just seem to get all the luck. The referees seem to be playing into their hands all night. And you could go on, and there's been so many games like that, but at the end of the day, it doesn't change anything. You still lost the game, and I don't want to go down that same route. I don't want to be thinking about our mentality in that game, or we haven't won there next amount of years, because we've done all that as well. And I think, you know, partly before the game, I was saying we just need to kind of have this focus of treating it as a one game and forgetting the previous records. So I think after the game, we should have the same mentality and just judge it on the 90 minutes with this group of players. And if we're honest, we were just a little bit unlucky not to get a result. I just think there's enough to build on there, take away the fear factor, and hopefully next time do them. Hopefully firstly at Goodison, and then if we can try and do something at Anfield. And that's the second option. I'm going with that one, because if I go with the first option, it's all going to go downhill very quick in my head. So just let me have it.
I just can't go on to that next time mentality, or next time we'll get them, next time we'll get them. You know, you should be raring and well up for it. And I mean, which the boys were, to be fair to them. I think the fact we lack so much in attacking options, and we're just not
clean. The only option we have is next time. This is the thing. You have to say next time, because we can't say this time because we've lost. So that's I have to try and take a positive out of it. Otherwise, if we just sit there and be so neggy about the fact we've got nothing to play for, Liverpool have knocked us out of the cup, we've won a game we haven't won there, it just gets us nowhere. And as I said, I feel like at worst they've give us something to shout about in terms of a half decent performance, and surely they've give us something to build on as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think this game against Tottenham will be telling. Obviously, that the season pretty much seems like it's dead anyway, but we're coming up against another good side here, you know, away from home, at Wembley, of all places. I just feel like, obviously, we did perform fairly well at Anfield, so it's another big fit, another big stage to perform on, and hopefully we can get progressively better at performing on these big stages where we so usually just fold.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, everything I've just said then would be really undone if we went and just flopped at Wembley this coming weekend at Tottenham. You know, we have to kind of build on the performance, but I don't know, I think we can. I think we can. I think we will unlucky not to get a result, and I hope we can build on it and just try and focus more on positives than negatives.
Yeah. I have a tendency to be like very positive, and that's just kind of my nature. And it has been sort of almost a fault in the past, where I'm overly positive and overly optimistic. So I guess what it is, a big part of my negativity is trying to balance it out, if that makes sense. I've just been the guy who says, you know what, we've shown promise, and I think it's going to get better. To be honest with you, I do think that's the case. I do think it got better. I do. But at the same time, we've had those games many, many times in the past where we play really well, but you know, we almost make it happen. But we don't.
Exactly, and that's just something that, from a neutral point of view as well, that's what defines the club, really. And from a fan's point of view, as an Evertonian, I'm getting sick and tired of it. You know, the nearly men all the time, and as I said before, we really need to just make something substantial. You know, I was coming off the ground, and I was speaking to fans, and that fans were going, it's always next year, mate. And I was like, you know, you sound like one of them. You sound like one of the Reds, just saying, oh, next year's our year. We'll do it next year. But I mean, I know, as David says, that there's not much more that you can do than say, you know, there's next year. But hopefully, bringing in the wingers has seemed to improve us drastically. So hopefully, that's the plan against Tottenham, and we continue to build on that.
So essentially, what we saw was a competitive game at Anfield, which is we haven't seen that recently, and it was there were good things, but at the same time, we all hate losing. So that's probably the simplest way to sum all that up, all right? However, basically, this match was overshadowed, to use Max's eloquent way of turning a phrase, overshadowed by an incident. Basically, there's no other way to put it, but controversial incident. Mason Holgate shoves Firmino into the stands. I don't think he meant to shove him into the stands. I think he just meant to shove him, but he ended up into the stands. Firmino comes at him, said some bad words. We know that. We can see that he said bad words. And then his mouth and face is obscured by another player. I think it's Jonjo Kenny on the camera. And at that point is when Mason Holgate alleges that Firmino said some sort of racial word, all right? So that's probably the gentlest way that I can put all of that. I'm hearing the thing that annoys me the most is everybody saying, look, read the lips. He didn't say it. And I'm like, no, it's not there. It's the part where the lips are covered. That's when it supposedly happened.
Obviously, I know, as far as it goes to comment on the situation, I mean, the FA are launching an investigation into it, and there's not much more that you can really comment on, really. All the thing, when incidents like this happen, what amazes me, it tends to bring out, especially when you're a frequent user of social media, it brings out a really weird kind of new side of football. You know, Mason Holgate had to delete his own Twitter account because, you know, Liverpool fans have gone scraping around his old tweets like they did with Andre Gray a few years back. And, you know, it's really weird to observe this kind of strange behaviour to try and victimise Holgate.
Yeah.
While all this is going on.
Well, they have previous Liverpool. I remember Patrice Evra used to get booed, and he was the worst person in the world when he was the actual one that got racially abused. And, you know, Suarez, they still argue it to this day, but the FA found Suarez guilty, and that's a fact. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, and to be fair, and I'm not just singling out Liverpool fans here, just fans in general, it does make you laugh, this kind of, you know, we stand behind them no matter what mentality that the fans have with players who, if they seen him on the street, wouldn't even stop to say hello. You know, like, half the time, you wouldn't even stop to have a selfie with you. Yeah, I seen a picture today that someone had photoshopped Holgate calling him a dirty, cheating, lying bastard or something like that. And I thought, why would you go onto your computer, download a picture of Mason Holgate, and spend time making this picture just to then put it on social network? It's pathetic. The facts are, none of us know what's being said. As Jerry said at the start, you can't see. So these people saying, well, this Portuguese lip reader said this, or well, you can see that he said this, and it's all bullshit. We don't know what's being said. Liverpool fans don't know what's being said either. Let's see what the investigation brings up. But in terms of these personal attacks on players, I just think it's disgusting. I don't particularly condone slating Firmino either. I thought his reaction was pathetic. But in terms of racial slurs, we don't know if he said anything. So he's innocent until proven guilty. So I don't think either side should be trying to point score.
Yeah. It's really important that we take this kind of thing seriously. You've got three possibilities here from the way I see it. Number one, Firmino said a word, a slur of some sort, and so Holgate has been racially abused. So that stinks. That's awful. That's a bad scenario. Number two, Holgate made it up. Okay? Which, that sucks. That's bad. That's not good either. And then three, Holgate misunderstood a word that Firmino said and misinterpreted it. And that seems like that's the way where less people get hurt, if that is true. Okay? But is there any other way? I mean, here's the question. What if Firmino didn't say it out loud? What if he mouthed it? You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't think it's going to be able to be proven.
Obviously, you know, as David said, we literally do not know what was said at all. But observing it from you know, the camera angles that have been available, it did seem like a kind of knee-jerk reaction from Holgate, if you know what I mean. I think he called him a filter de puta at first, which he didn't get much of a reaction from. But then, obviously, John Joe's Kenning head get in the way, and then something said, and it seemed to kind of like fire Mason Holgate up a bit. Mm-hmm. Then, as you say, Jerry, it might have been a misinterpretation, but you know, we just don't know. And Mason Holgate, he's not like a Joey Barton, you know what I mean? He doesn't get easily angry. So, you know, you just got to wait and see.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen him react like that, which makes you think something's in it. But then, just as easy, there's 50,000 people there, so he could have misheard anything. You just don't know, do you? But, mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think it's shameful the way some people have acted. And it will be on both sides. I've seen more Liverpool fans, but of course there'll be Everton fans probably saying stuff back.
Apparently the police are investigating some racist Twitter actions that happened against Holgate before he deactivated his account. Just a really ugly situation all the way around. There were rumors that the situation got resolved at halftime, and basically it got straightened out and that Holgate was fine, but that's not true, because apparently they went over and at the end of the game and kind of reiterated their complaint. It's a really difficult situation. A lot of people are weighing in right now before they know a damn thing. You know, and it's... How do you do that?
It brings out just a vicious circle of strange human behaviour, really. You know, you get them people that jump the gun on both sides. You know, you'll get Everton fans going, oh, he said this, that and the other. And then, you know, obviously you get Liverpool fans trying to defend for me, you know, by all costs. And, you know, as you say, Joe, you know, people are just saying things when they haven't got a clue.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, you need to just sit back in these instances, because they are important. You know, you do need to just take your time with them and assess them, because if he is proven guilty, you know, obviously a punishment's going to be there, and it needs to be able to deter these incidents from happening.
Yeah. I've heard some really ridiculous defenses of Firmino recently. That's what I'll say. You know, don't look at, what about that other thing that was worse than what he did? You know what I mean? That kind of stuff? No, that is, yeah. I hate that kind of stuff. All right. So I hate to end the segment talking about controversy, but this one's unresolved, folks, and we had to give it some attention. But we're not drawing any conclusions. We're just not. We're just not like that. You know, we want more facts to come out first. It's not good, though. It's awful. It's an ugly side, the way Max was saying. So, anything else on this, guys? Or are we ready to go?
Well, that's cool. Yeah, let's wrap it up.
All right. So, that is all for our FA Cup Derby reaction. We always do some form of transfer information, rumors, whatnot, every week. Last week we did outgoings, which means this week we have a lot of possible incomings. All right? So we need to get started, because this list is as long as my arm. So just really quickly to talk about two big possible ones that have died down, and we don't have to talk comments on this. I'm just going to say the interest is supposedly not as much now. Jean-Michel Seri from, I believe it's Nice. Those rumors have died down. Supposedly he would like to come to Premier League, but he wants to do Champions League team. Okay? So I don't think we're as strongly linked with him anymore. And Steve... Oh, sorry, what?
It's a fussy bastard.
Steven Nzonzi rumors, good player at Sevilla. The rumors that I've heard are that their new manager wants to keep him, and so that's a thing. So we've been looking at other options. So let's move on to the ones that haven't really died down. In fact, they've gotten stronger. Theo Walcott, 19 goals last season, not getting a whole lot of play this season. Played yesterday in Arsenal's loss to Forest. Max, lead us. What do you think here?
It's an awkward one to go for, because you get both sides of the coin. You know, you'll get people that will welcome him with open arms, and which I think I'm leaning more towards, because I think he just brings a pace and a killer instinct that we just lack. But you'll get people saying, you know, I think David brought it up last time when we were talking about Giroud. Obviously, as you said, Jerry, he's not playing a lot of football, so might be a bit of rustiness. But I bring him in purely because, you know, we lack that pace up front.
Yeah, I'm really against this one, actually. That's why I was laughing when you said there's two people and you were saying you were one side. I'm actually the other side. I don't like him. I think he never fulfilled his potential. He can't really get anywhere near the Arsenal side. And I've seen a lot of the Arsenal fans saying, "Oh, we'd drive them wherever, whoever wanted them, whoever would be stupid enough to want them, we'll take them there." And I know that's an overreaction, but he just doesn't seem to do much anymore. And I personally think he's finished, and maybe he has got something to offer, but I hope we don't sign him personally.
Honestly, this falls into a category of, I think he will help us, but not for long. Mm. You know what I mean? So this falls into a category of some of the, which is funny, Max. I actually thought you wouldn't like this signing because of his age.
Yeah, I thought you would have been. Yeah,
Max hates the old people. You know,
I mean,
I'm joking,
how old
Max.
Is he now? Is he still in his 20s?
Is he like 29? Is that what it is?
29.
Yeah, he's fast, but he is getting older. And usually fast players with pace, when they get older, if the pace is the defining characteristic of their game, that's not good when they get in their 30s. However, I watched a lot of stuff about him last season. He's a clinical finisher. He's really, really solid at just slotting one in the corner when he's anywhere inside the box. And he's fast. Would we play him as a possible second striker? Maybe. You know, obviously he played a lot of wing for Arsenal. He would help us next year. I just don't know if he'd help anywhere beyond that.
It's depth, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that's something that we need. Mm-hmm.
So next, David, what do you think of Alfie Mawson, center back from Swansea?
I think individually he's a good player, but I don't know. I think he's come from a struggling side. He's conceded a lot of goals, really. So I'm undecided on that one, to be honest. I think he's a little bit of a buzz player at the moment as well, like a buzz name. So for me, I'm not particularly overwhelmed by that link.
Yeah, I. As you say, that he's kind of a standout player in a really poor team, and you know there's always a high risk factor when you go in for a player like that. Obviously, you know we've got Funes Mori to come back as well. Who, even though I'm not his biggest fan, I am willing to give him a chance. So I'd probably say I'm undecided as well. I wouldn't be upset if it went ahead, because I do feel like he's a good young English player. But, yeah, I'm undecided for now.
questions of pace, but he is a left-sided centre-back, but I think he's right-footed. He's a strong kid. He's strong. I think he would – he's good in the air. I just don't want to buy from Swansea anymore.
They've had enough.
You know, I think they're. If he was on another team, I would be saying, okay, we can maybe get him for 25. You know, but I think if we buy from Swansea, if we were looking at more like 40. You know, and I don't want to do that. But I think he is a good center back, and he is strong, and he's stronger physically than most of the center backs we have. He's a hoss, man. So yeah, next, Abdoulaye Doucouré from Watford. He's a center mid, plays attacking mid, plays defensive mid. He's a big guy, dictates play. He's a good player for Watford. If we could get him for a decent cost, I'd be fine with it. But again, it's not as much. We have a little bit of depth at that position right now. It's not like a dire situation that we buy in Zonzi or by Doucouré. Do I think they're better than what we have right now? Yes, I do. If we can make that happen, great, but we got to address all these other needs first, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a good player. Again, Watford sat there. They wouldn't even sell us their manager. Why do we think they're going to sell a pivotal player? I don't think that would happen either in the middle of the season. So, Max, what do you think?
Yeah, as you say, we seem to be quite covered in that position, and I think Sam is showing a lot of faith in Morgan Schneiderlin. So I think he's a big fan of Morgan being in the centre of midfield. I can't help but feel I do rate Decore, but I just feel like he's just having his buzz season, really. I think, you know, Watford are doing a lot better this season than I think quite a lot of people expected, and he's been a standout player in that side. He's kind of like a driving force in that midfield, and I feel like Gay can do that. I'm a big fan of a Jesse Gay, and to be honest, I think we're covered. I do. I just think we need to address needs elsewhere.
Yeah, I'm underwhelmed again by that one. I'm not interested in it. I think stay at Watford. I think he's a good player. I think he's a good player, but yeah, I don't think we particularly need that right now. And I think the money would be too much, and I just don't like the idea of that move.
So, next name on the list, we've been connected in some publications as having an interest in Karim Demirbay. He plays in the Bundesliga for Hoffenheim. He is another Turkish player. We've got one of those. Hey, Turkish fans. You are awesome. another Turkish player. Attacking center mid. Very good at set plays. He reminds me of Sigurdsson, except quicker and more slight, not as big. Max, what do you think of that guy?
I'm a big fan. I watched quite a bit of Hoffenheim last season. You know, they had a great season under Julian Nagelsmann, and he was a standout player. As you say, he kind of had those creative instincts that Sigurdsson has, but seemed to carry the ball with a lot more pace. And obviously with the outgoing of Barkley, it seemed like a smart investment. So I'm all for it.
David,
I've seen the lad play twice. I don't know enough about him. If Max is raving about him, he must be half decent. Once again, it didn't scream a kind of position that desperately needs filling. But I suppose without Barkley, maybe we need some cover there. The potential, as I said, I can't comment too much. I don't know how good the lad is.
He seems to be a good player. He's got really good vision. I just continue to wonder. I don't know. I think my desire to have him will depend on who we get rid of, you know, because I think, I mean, he seems like a number. I think we're looking at a number 10, aren't we? Isn't he a number 10? And we got a lot of those right now. So if we put, and that also depends on what you view Claussen as well. You know what I mean? Some people view him as sort of an 8 at times. But as far as this guy, he's good. I don't know if he could handle the physicality of the Premier League, but I would love to have him. I just want to need him, you know? Right now we've got Rooney and Sigurdsson who can play that role. But neither one of them are as quick or as fast as Demirbay. Yeah.
He's quite versatile as well, so, you know, if needs be, we could put him out wide as well, which would be handy. You know, again, it all links to depth, which I feel is kind of a theme that was hard this season, really.
Yeah.
Don't have enough of it.
I just wonder if Big Sam thinks that we need more depth at that position now. You know what I mean? Because the way Big Sam's talking, he's almost saying, we're going to get, like, 2 or 3 more signings tops, you know.
Well, don't forget, when he came in, he actually said he thought there was too many players at the club. So,
It's quality. It's a lack of quality for me. That's what I mean.
I feel like if we were looking for kind of depth within that that number 10 role, taking away the obvious suspects, I'd put Vlasic in there. I think
me too.
Could do with
yes, definitely. There. Yes,
that's why I'd be reluctant to go and spend more money on another like number 10 type player, but especially with even Dahl waiting in the wings as of the summer again when he comes back. So they're my only thing about number 10s at the moment. Maybe not investing in another one, despite how good this lad's meant to be.
Totally just forgot about both of those, and they are they're both good. So. All right. Next, we've mentioned this guy before, but we're linked to him again. Apparently, Brighton had a £12.5 million bid rejected for Carl Toko Ekambi. from I think it's Angers in Ligue 1. But apparently Angers wants to hold on to him, but there's rumors that we're going to bid for him. He can play out wide, but he also can play center forward. A fast, physical player from what I can tell. No idea beyond that, guys. Yeah. I would like some speed and some pace and some youth. That would be cool, you know? I don't have a whole lot else on this one, though.
Yeah, I'm torn with these because it seems another one who doesn't seem a fantastic player, just seems a half-decent player. And it just feels like another gamble. And we seem to be fluctuating from either a Premier League player that we'd have to overplay for or someone that we don't know is going to be any good if they come over here. And I feel like with our transfer business, we need to find the happy medium between the two. And I put this player in that bracket of we don't know how successful he'd be over there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I always thought this guy wasn't that good. Or maybe I'm thinking of someone else. Does anyone else know anything about him?
No, I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah. Just move on.
player like this, the weird thing is what you're talking about, David, is everybody says, and I don't think you're going this far, by the way, but a lot of people are saying we need to be bidding for quality, quality, quality. The biggest problem with that is, does quality want us to bid for them? You know what I mean? And it's sort of like, okay, well, yeah, we could totally bid for Neymar. Sure. But Neymar wouldn't come here. So we have to figure out, like, who are the ones that are, like you mentioned, the happy medium. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, figuring out the ones that aren't a total risk, but we know that they could play a role. That's what I hope that is the plan for these players.
See, I think my only slight concern, which is maybe the point I was trying to allude to, is we seem to be looking at paying extortionate prices for marginally better players rather than maybe paying money for a player who would improve the squad. Mm-hmm. And I don't always think that needs to even be an elite player that you're talking about, or maybe not even the next bracket, but the one underneath, I think, is what we should be aiming for. And sometimes it feels like we're just kind of paying a lot of money for similar type level players, what we've got at the moment, that mightn't necessarily make the squad that much better.
David, if I list one of those, could you say whether or not you actually think it's one of them? All right? Because I don't know if I've listed any of those yet. All right? So, Arda Turan. All right? Another Turkish player. Barcelona. He'd be available for about 20. His agent's been kind of putting him out there saying, hey, you know, do you want this guy? He can play in the wing. He can play in the center. He has done very little for Barcelona. It has not worked out for him very much or very well. There are rumors that he's probably going back to Turkey. Okay, Turkey. So, I don't know. I haven't seen him play lately. He hasn't played much for Barcelona. When he played for Atletico, I immediately would have said, yes, let's get that guy.
Yeah, I agree. And kind of going back to what David said just before, obviously you've mentioned that as well, as his agents pretty much put him in the shop window.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if we were to go down that route and try and bring him in, it'd feel a lot like what David was saying earlier, just one of them signing that doesn't necessarily improve the squad.
Right.
It's just kind of a name that will draw a bit of an attraction, but again, it'd be high risk factor.
Bollocks.
You like him, don't you?
I like him a lot. I really do. I knew this was going to come back and bite me on the ass. I've always really liked him since his season.
Where would you play him in our side, though? That's something that I'm just curious about.
I'd probably pull him in over or any of our midfielders, actually, including maybe Idrissa Gueye. I don't know, but as I said, maybe he's a right. He might not be the player he was because he hasn't played that much, but I loved him at Atletico Madrid, and it's not just his football ability that I love. I love his personality on the pitch and the kind of presence that he has, something that I think Everton have got such a lack of. I think he's got a winner's mentality as well. He's just a player I think could improve us, definitely.
Yeah.
I think he's better than Schneiderlin. Schneiderlin seems to be a starting 11 for us at the moment. I think he's better than him.
I think as far as his quality is better, although, you know, not the same position, obviously. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how he plays now. He was magic when he played for Atletico.
Yeah, so
that's if he's bringing anywhere close to that, yeah, he'll improve us. You know?
Just like, I mean, it definitely wasn't as extreme because Fabregas done wonders at Barcelona, but he didn't play as much as he would have liked, did he? And, you know, people were raising a few question marks when he come back to the Premier League, whether he'd still be the same player. Then I think he's proven on the whole he has been. And it seems crazy comparing two different style of players like them, but it's just a point I'm trying to make that if you don't cut it, Barcelona, it doesn't necessarily mean no longer an excellent player. You're just at the best club in the world, one of the best clubs in the world, so it's hard.
Didn't Arsenal buy one of those guys a few years ago? Little guy from Chile?
Oh, yeah, of course.
That worked out pretty well, you know?
Even Pedro, I know he's been hit and miss at times, but I think on the whole, Chelsea will be happy with that purchase.
Mm. Next. Andre Silva, AC Milan. It would take about $35 million to buy him. And he's got no league goals, only Europa League goals this season. I don't think this one's happening. And I don't have a lot of faith if a player is not producing in Serie A that they could come to Premier League and handle the physicality. That's just me, because I feel like Italian League is one of the ones that actually has similar physicality. You know, I feel like it's not quite as much, but it's still there. So yeah, I don't know that this is happening, and I don't necessarily. But he was scoring, you know, banging him in for fun the year before, just to point that out. So Max, what do you think?
I think, you know, my initial reaction would be yes, because as you say, he banged him in for Porto when he's still very young. So, and he's got, I think he's well over 6 foot, and he's quite stocky for his age as well. So, but as you say, no league goals in a kind of a strange season for AC Milan. I think it'd just be safer to say no, even though he's one of those players that I think if he came to us, I go to see him with every player. He's one of them. I'd love him to do well, and I'd love him to be a prolific goal scorer. But as you say, you'll have your doubts just because of the fact he hasn't really bagged in the league this season.
Yeah. Dude.
I think any player that isn't getting in an AC Milan side who are 11th in Serie A has got no place at Everton. I think they're very similar to, except for all the titles and history, but Milan are very similar to Everton at the moment in the sense that they've had a lot of investments and it hasn't quite worked out for them this year. There's maybe similar, it hasn't worked out for us. So, yeah, I think we'd be fools to take that deal.
Diafra Sacco, West Ham. This was a piece that was run recently that said we were interested in him and another striker, who I'll mention next. So, David, what do you think?
No, not particularly bothered by that one at all. No, I don't even need to go into it. No,
Max.
No, same. No, I feel like we should go elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, he's got some pace. We don't have a lot of pace. His numbers are not that great though. And I know we can play across the front line, but I don't know. I'm trying to give all of these suggestions a fair shake, but my initial reaction was, I don't know about that. You know what I mean? Like,
is anybody from West Ham at the moment?
I don't know. I bet if we really looked at their, I think we could find a couple that would help us out. You know, Lanzini's a good little player. You know,
maybe Lanzini.
Next. We've been connected with this guy before, but supposedly we're talking about getting him again. Moussa Dembélé from Celtic. All right. I'll lead this one and say, another big maybe. He did well last season for Celtic and scored a lot of goals. This season, not as much. And let's be honest, they are by far the strongest team in their league. He has not had the best competition, but he has been playing Champions League. He has scored goals against some of these Champions League quality teams. I don't know. I think he's a better prospect than Diafra Sakho. Okay? I will say that. I'm not confident in him in the air at all, but I don't think he would be coming here. But teamed with Cenk Tosun could be a thing. All right? Yeah. So, Max, what do you think?
I don't watch that much Scottish football, really, purely just based on the lack of quality. As you say, they are by far the best team in Scotland. And I watched the last of him, and he got subbed off. So that just kind of speaks volumes to me. You know, you can't turn up and deliver there. Then you're not going to cut the mustard, are you?
Yeah, David.
I do quite like him actually, it probably would excite me the move, but it'd still be a lot of risk with it. And I'm not sure if it'd be enough to take a gamble on in January anyway, especially for the price Celtic would probably want for them.
I heard the fee now would be cheaper than what it would have been at the beginning of the season. So, I will say is appealing. All right? Less risk there. Next, Miguel Layún, a left back from Porto. He is a Mexican international. I have a lot of experience with this guy. Either of you guys know anything about him, or you want me to...
I know the name. I haven't watched him that much.
So
yeah, I haven't.
So here's the thing: when you watch film of this guy, you will notice something really familiar. All right, he plays left back, but almost every assist or cross you see him make, he's going down the left side, stops it, taps it to his right foot, and crosses it. You will see it all over his videos. Like it's very cuckoo. All right? It is very cuckoo. And because I was expecting to see him whipping in crosses, and he does. His right foot is, you know, he can cross really well with his right. And his defensive capabilities are strong. But he's not. I just don't think we're going to buy him, guys. I think we want to buy a left-footed left back. You know, I just don't think this will happen. Although he is a quality player.
Yeah. That was enough to just put me off him straight away. Yeah. Right,
we like our old school left backs to be left footed.
I think from what I've seen this season, Cucho Martina just gives me nightmares. The way, you know, it causes so many problems in our side. You know, he kills the momentum in the attacks by dragging it onto his right foot or trying to go infield. And just no. I can't bear to see it anymore.
David.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not behind that move at all. I just want a naturally left-footed left-back who just whips it in with his left.
All right. Two more, guys. Two more. We'll wrap this up. Rafa Silva from Benfica. There's a rumor that we want him on loan and for a view to Perm. It would be for $26.5 million. He normally plays left wing, but he can also play like center mid. Good player. Really good. I mean, he's been compared to Eden Hazard. But... his numbers don't really reveal that. Two goals,
believe it or not.
Two goals, four assists last season. He hasn't done that much this season either. I don't know. Again, no idea. But this is also from that Portuguese publication. Is it Ojogo or Ohogo? I don't know how to pronounce it. But they're the ones who posted about us being linked to several Portuguese league players last season that did not come to fruition. So I don't think this is a legit real link, but it's a rumor. So yeah. Anything on him, guys, at all?
I just think that's a really strange deal. Yeah, the way you mentioned it was a loan, and then it could be paying at like 26.5. Jesus, that's a strange deal.
For a deal like that to be at that kind of level, where an agreement like that's being discussed, a lot of discussions would have had to take place for that to be the case, and it's pretty clear that hasn't happened. I think the player's struggling, and his agent had a word with the guy in the paper and just said, create a bit of buzz around him to keep the club on the toes a little bit.
Yeah. So, agreed. Totally agreed. Last connection, which there's actually been some pretty solid stuff linked to this guy. Emiliano Rigoni from Zenit St. Petersburg. He's a winger. He's Argentinian. And if you watch his film, he doesn't really have a lot of big moments this season. However, he has scored a decent amount of goals in Europa League. All right? He's more of a bigger, more physical winger. It's a strange one. And nobody has even mentioned a price. I've seen some people say the release clause is less than 40 and that we're willing to pay it. Is what I've heard, with what I've seen. Multiple sources here, guys. It's a weird one. It's just random enough to be believable because Walsh loves the random stuff, you know? But his highlights that I saw when he was in South America are a lot more impressive. A lot more. But yeah, I don't know, guys. That's another one. No idea. So, tell me about your extensive scouting on this player, guys.
I can't even tell you his name, and you've just said it.
Yeah, exactly. Rigoni. And I'm only going to mention these players just because there have been some recent whispers about Jamie Vardy and Johnny Evans lately. Who knows?
I'd have Jamie Vardy, but not Johnny Evans.
Who knows?
Yeah,
I'm not even going to... Those are like... straight up whispers, random Twitter. I heard from a friend to a friend to a friend. So anyway. All right. So that's all the transfer rumors. Just a shade under a decade. We got that finished. Recently, we did a video about outgoing transfers. And we mentioned that Ross might be off soon and Kevin Morales might be off soon. Well, guess what? They're both off, right? They're gone. Ross is on a permanent to Chelsea for $15 million, which is less than a lot of people expected. $35 million was the cost in the fall. So there's that. And Kevin Morales is off to Olympiacos, his former team, and they love him there. Many, many people greeted his plane. They love that guy there. I think it's $4 million was the fee, but it's just a loan. I'm assuming they'll make that permanent at the end of the season. I can't see him wanting to leave there after the end of the season. So we have to react to this. This is basically our reactions to Ross leaving and Kevin leaving. So let's start with Ross, guys. Max is making a face already. So,
it got me this one. It just got me. I just think, as I was saying to you earlier, Jerry. I mean, I'm not gonna play some tassel lads because I don't know him. But I just think that the club looked after him through a double leg break and this serious hamstring injury. And to run your contract down like that. I know, as you said earlier, Jerry, you don't even know if he thought that through properly.
Yeah.
I've heard his agent just had just heavy influence over him, and there were multiple factors that just kind of ushered him out the door. And it really frustrated me in the manner that he left, because as you say, Jerry, $15 million when really, in the summer could have been 35, or even the dignity to sign a contract and get us just help the club out and let us be better off. It's one of them moves that I just it's not quite Rooney to Man United, but because he still might be a flop, and I think Chelsea fans will realise soon that you've got to put up with a lot with Ross to really cute. He tends to go a bit brainless, doesn't know whether to go left, right, or through the middle, and can just lose the ball like that. But I'm sure they'll find that out.
I mean, I know you say it's not quite Rooney to United. I think on some levels it's worse, because I feel like at least Rooney was the boy wonder. He was unbelievable and probably like the best young prospect in the world. Ross isn't. He didn't warrant a massive move. I'm surprised he got it, but he has anyway. The whole thing for me just stinks. There's so much more going on that I don't think we'll find out for a long time. I think it could be things that have gone behind. We've heard so many rumours, but then this is what we said last time when we all spoke about it, that he hasn't had the decency to kind of clarify anything for us.
Yeah.
And now it just looks as if he kept his mouth shut because he just wanted to do the coward's way and just kind of go out the back door without having to say anything. I mean, he was an Evertonian. He grew up at the club. It's the club he apparently loved. And on his goodbye message, there was about, what was it, half a paragraph saying thanks to Everton and the fans. What was all that about?
I haven't even seen it. I didn't know he put one out.
Yeah, so.
Oh, it was only on Instagram. He didn't even bother on Twitter. I mean, Lukaku, for all Lukaku's flaw, at least he had one of his PR fellas make a cheesy Photoshop video with the Everton tune on. But yeah, it was just, yeah, I'm like you, I'm not going to personally attack him because it's not my style. I don't think it's anyone's style on here. But I don't wish him any well in his career. I think he's made a massive mistake, and you know, we can see it coming. He might be in denial now, but I don't think anyone is expecting him to take over the world when it comes to football over the next few years.
Yeah, the big frustration here, he goes to Chelsea and either he took the medical or he's about to take the medical, knowing he was injured. The idea that he might or someone might have known he wasn't going to be able to play until January.
Exactly. That's just another factor that kind of went into my head.
If someone knew, and if he knew, that's just it. I would like to think that it's an agent taking advantage of him because Ross just doesn't know the way of things usually. You know, that's what I'm assuming. I'm hoping that Ross just doesn't understand this stuff. Okay, but they know if Chelsea buys him for a lower fee in January, they will get more money from Chelsea. Period. Someone knows that. All right, however, at what point do we sit there and say, Ross, you're a big boy,
yeah,
you make your own decisions, you know, you may have people influencing you, but whatever, you know? So I'm torn. I do think there's a good kid in there. I do. I think he's a good player. No, I mean, I really do. He seems like I think he's damaged.
Yeah, true. I think the kind of stuck out to me is, obviously it hasn't gone as smoothly as planned. You know, they're drawing similarities to AC Milan with the money that they've had come in. You know, as you say, you know, for an Evertonian to be at the club and all this money come in, and you know, there's still a prospect there that, you know, for lack of a better phrase, if we get our shit together and, you know, kind of spend this money wisely and develop a better squad. The fact that he's still kind of just hadn't thought of that, or as I've said previously, hadn't thought, oh, they're going through a bit of a bad time here. Let me just grit my teeth, and once I get fit again, I'll start playing. Even if he wants to move, play your way out. Like look at what the likes of Coutinho and Mahrez. Well, no, Mahrez hadn't played last year. They basically played their way to big moves, particularly Coutinho. And as you say, I don't know if it's all properly processed in his head, but. It's a low move.
And here's the thing as well. When you actually think back, we always naturally look at that Chelsea medical as when it was this all kind of the decision to leave come about. Mm. He wasn't signing the contract all of at the back end of last season when we were still on a high. We were finishing the season quite well. We were going to secure Europe, big summer ahead. He was already looking elsewhere. He was already gone. I've got a lot of question marks over the situation, how we come about, and question marks over the player himself.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has definitely sold Everton down the banks, and if that isn't the case, he should have come out and said something, but he didn't, and I don't think he'll ever be forgiven. You know, we said this about Rooney, and now he's one of our better players. He's come back, but Rooney had to work very hard to get back to where he was.
Mm-hmm.
For the league, that was a few years in the making. That I don't think anyone will have Barkley back because he just, at least we got good money for Rooney at the time. We've been fucked over financially with Barkley as well.
That's the difference right there. With Rooney, the club needed the money. You know what I mean? And Rooney didn't say, hey, I want to go. You know what I mean? It wasn't like Rooney was clamoring and angry and any of that kind of stuff. Everton needed the money. With Barkley, and to be honest, got the money.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You know what, Jerry? Rooney probably did deserve the move because look what he went and won, and he was a fantastic player. Barkley doesn't. What's Barkley done? I was trying to think of his highlights when he left, and I was like, he scored the goal at Newcastle where everybody just seemed to fall over in front of him. What else did he do? He scored some all right goals, but you never looked at a game and thought, Ross Barkley won us that game. He took by the scruff of the neck and he won us. He never done any of that. And it's just, he didn't deserve to just shit on Everton like that, and I don't think Evertonians will forget it.
I just think it's funny as well that he got the number 8 shirt. But I'm one of them people that kind of values shirt numbers and just things like that. He's got Frank Lampard shirt. Can't wait till they see the difference between bloody Frank Lampard and Ross Barkley. Yeah. I haven't got a book full of Chelsea contacts on, you know, a few Chelsea lads, but they're buzzing for it. And I just said, wait and see, you know.
I think I have fonder memories of him winning some games for us, or at least scoring some spectacular goals. And I do think there were games where he appeared to be the most dominant player on the pitch that we still didn't win. I think that happened often, where he possessed the ball maybe more than anybody else on the pitch, but we still didn't win. And I think that's a little, I don't know, that told me a little bit about him. You know, about you when you were talking about earlier, his indecisiveness. He created a lot of chances last season. He did. That did happen. And do I think our team would be better if he stayed on it and played? Yeah, I do. You know, but I don't know where. Here's the thing: is his move stemming from a big head and him thinking he's better and he deserves it, or is his move stemming from the fact that he didn't get along with Koeman, which I think is clear, or is his move stemming from the fact that he doesn't like living where he lives now, and he's just it's the atmosphere is not getting along with him, you know what I mean? Is not jiving with him.
Yeah,
I
said this so many questions, man.
Yeah,
I just want to say I think he just needs from his point of view, I think what he's looking at there is just a fresh start. A club to play Champions League football. Mm-hmm. And I feel like just sick of having to start over and start over every season at Everton, which, you know, I can understand that, but just the way he's gone about this deal is absolutely awful.
I'm glad it was over quickly, though. I'm glad this for this transfer window. Okay, you know what I mean? We're getting a lot of the negative aspects of the club out quickly this January.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of which, Morales is in Greece now. All right.
Smooth.
You see, segue.
Transition.
Come on. So, I figure this is much quicker than Ross. Okay. Kevin scored some amazing goals for us over the past, you know, however long he's been here. All right. I never really consider him as an assist man. I always consider him as the guy who cuts in and nails one from just outside the 18.
Yeah.
All right. But inconsistency has totally. Checked this guy's checkered his career here. So Max, give me your 30-second appraisal.
He got that hero's welcome. I think everything at Everton seemed to go downhill from when he robbed that penalty off Baines against West Brom.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he got that hero's welcome, didn't he? And you know, he's been a good servant for the club. Inconsistent towards the end and didn't really materialise what we wanted. But if he, as you say, he's probably going to go on a pimp. After this loan runs out, so you know, thanks for whatever you did. Yeah. Really, you didn't do much,
David.
Inconsistent attitude, inconsistent performances, some good, some bad. I wish him well, but I don't particularly miss him either.
There was a short period where he was one of my favorite players to watch for Everton.
Mm-hmm. Same.
It was a short period.
Yeah. It's normally one half of football.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So, Ross and Kev, I don't even have any parting words for you. You're gone, and that's the reality. All right. So, that's the end of this episode, and that's the end of this show. If you're listening via podcast, please subscribe and rate the podcast if you can. If you're digging the videos, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'd appreciate it. Also, like, comment, you know, all that hot stuff. Check out David's stuff on The Sportsman and also on the Toffee Blues website. Check out Max's stuff on the Toffee Blues website. Check out the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and just go to the website for all kinds of awesome content. Guys, thanks so much, and I'll talk to you later. All right, everybody? Bye-bye.